Call me.
EOTM Radio. Entrepreneurs on the move. Reshaping lives for a better tomorrow.
What's going on? My name is Stephen Knight, and you're listening to The Stephen Knight Show. Show here on EOTM Radio. As always, got to thank you for joining us tonight. We're very excited. We'll be discussing the latest in entertainment news, sports, fashion, and the latest in movie reviews. Tonight, we welcome R&B star turned worship minister at Victory World Church here in Atlanta, Georgia. He left the R&B world, and tonight he's talking about his new project, Shake Heaven, and his transition into Christian music. So, Montel Jordan will be here. As always, I want you to be part of the discussion, so call them with your questions and comments. The number is 718-664-6543. Again, that's 718-664-6543. And you can also join us in the chat. There's a link on our Facebook page. But first, Ms. Parker, how are you doing tonight?
I am feeling well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Definitely on Monday, but, you know, I'm excited about tonight's show. So.
You got to it. Yeah, I'm excited to Big Mr. Montel Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, everyone remembers the song, This Is How We Do It. You know, that's just like a classic theme song, I guess, for the early night, midnight.
Mm-hmm. He definitely has some classics, you know.
Oh, yeah, Fallen. Fallen is my favorite, too. I love the song. I used to sing all the time when I was a kid. But how was your weekend?
Weekend was good. Went out on Friday after work and celebrated a little bit. You know, I got a new gig and I'm downtown now. That's going well. Yeah, and
you doing a new job?
Yesterday. Yeah. Everything's going well with that. I like the location and commute is not as bad as I thought it would be. So I'm going against traffic. So yeah, that's a good thing.
Oh, that's good. That's definitely a good thing. What's your weekend like?
More training. Hopefully, you know, getting started and trying to make some money. One door closes, another one opens, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I hear that.
What are you going on?
Oh, this week, let's see. Not too much I can really think of. Just normal, you know, out the bustle.
Normal routine.
Right. I'm looking to get back in the studio very soon. Very excited about that. I was talking to this producer. And Phoenix and I, you know, the producer I worked on my current project, we talked, so hopefully we'll have a single on soon. So
okay. We'll
definitely see what happens to that. It's been a
process. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I look forward to it. I can't wait for people to hear it because I've been sitting on these songs for a while, you know what I mean? But
Right.
You know, I'm very excited about some of the upcoming guests we have. We'll talk about that a little later in the show. But I know Chike is on. What's going on, Chike?
Hello, how are you?
I'm good.
What's going on, Chike?
Happy belated Easter, everyone.
Happy belated Easter to you.
Same to you. How was your weekend?
My weekend was A-okay. It was pretty good. I had a couple birthdays this weekend. I hung out a little bit, and then I kind of chilled out and relaxed for the holiday. I don't get a chance to do that too often, so I was excited about that.
I hear that.
So I did manage to check out two movies.
Okay.
I checked out American Pie Reunion, which was awesome. in the same tradition of, you know, American Pie. They kept it, you know, pretty much the same, except that they're older now. And, you know, if you've gone through that, if you're of age and you've gone through that cycle of life to actually have had a reunion of your own, they kind of touch on some of the same things that, you know, we go through when we reunite with our adolescents and our childhood friends, our high school friends, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
It was very funny, very entertaining. And the second movie that I saw was the movie that's getting high acclaim and a lot of press called Bully. And it's a documentary basically based on bullying in schools. They actually took a camera and uploaded it in certain areas so you could actually see what was going on with these children in school. It is very powerful and it's very moving. And having, you know, revisited my childhood and remembering, you know, bullies in my classroom that picked on certain people and, you know, being a kid, you don't really realize at the time, you know, what those children could be going through and how it could affect their, you know, life after school. But, you know, actually revisiting that and seeing that, it touched it home. You know, it really resonated with inside yourself as it relates to what children go through in school and how that affects their adulthood.
Wow, that's interesting because, you know, a lot of people have made the argument that bullying has gone around for years, but it seems like more recently we're seeing kids losing their lives, you know, and, you know, taking their lives as a result of it, to the bullying. So there's definitely something fascinating, you know, that they're documenting that and sharing.
Yeah. There's a common consensus that, you know, because it's happened to children, children are resilient, they can bounce back from it. But, you know, statistics and, you know, some psychologists have shown that some people really just don't get over it. You know, you can be bullied in school and that carries over into your adulthood and it will affect you in profound ways.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone, it turns out to be different. The bullies turn out to be the bulliers later on in life sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is where you have your rapist and your spousal abuse situations.
Mm-hmm.
And it runs the gamut. So you just never know what you're going to get. So, and I think it's what you touched on about today. It seems like it's a little bit more prevalent, but bullies have always been around. I think that overall we're trying to parent different now. Too many parents are trying to be friends, so to speak, and you're not really implementing what you need to implement to your child to get them in order in school and to not be those type of people.
Right. Yeah.
So I think the hand has gotten a little light, a little lackadaisical, which allows for things to go a little bit more out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of things about that movie, CK. I heard that it was rated 13 or rated R or something, and that there was a controversy because it was made for children to be able to see it, but because of the ratings, they have to go there.
Right. Because of the cursing.
That changed,
like, these children,
the content.
Yeah, the content. These children are like no holes barred. They're going in. They're going in deep. And the director was actually saying that. Yeah, they are. And the director was actually saying that initially the first draft, the first cut that he wanted to release was an R, borderlining X. And it was because of all the cursing. And he had to cut some content out of it just to get it to the point for the children to be able to see it. And even still, parents need to go with their children to see this movie. I don't see a child walking into this movie and going to go watch it by themselves. This is a conversation piece. This needs to be something that's experienced between parents and children. They need to go together. They need to go
with groups.
I honestly think that
anyway.
Would you say? I'm sorry.
I said you recommend that the parents be there anyways.
Oh, yes, this is something that parents need to see. The parents and the children need to have a conversation about this piece. They need to be in there together. And I will go on further to say, I don't know if this will ever happen, but I would like to see teachers in classrooms go to watch this movie with superintendents of schools. I think they need to put this on the curriculum and go in drones to go watch this movie because it's very educational and it's something that's real that goes on in schools. You know, teachers feel like, you know, after the classroom or after school is over, but children still have to ride the bus. They still have to walk home. They still have to, you know, that journey in coming to school. This stuff happens even before they touch school soil. So, yeah, people need to go check this out.
Yeah, it's a pretty serious issue, yeah.
It really is. It really is. Especially anytime you have young kids taking their lives, you know what I mean? So,
it's definitely
a conversation piece for parents, you know, to know
absolutely.
What's going on in these schools. Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
The whole segment of internet bullying, it wasn't even touched, so that's a whole nother subject. Maybe we'll have a show on that, Stephen. Maybe we'll talk about it.
Yeah, that'd definitely be a good topic. But any other movies coming up that you look forward to?
Think Like a Man, Act Like a Woman. I think that's how it goes, or Act Like a Woman, Think Like a Man.
I don't know
which way it goes, but that's coming out. Woman Thou Art Loose on the Seventh Day, that's coming out. That's another one that I want to see. The Avengers, of course, I want to see. Let's see what else is coming out.
I want to ask your opinion about something. YouTube, Ms. Parker. I was reading that, you know, there's been rumors that they're going to do a bioepic on the life of Whitney Houston. And, you know, Rihanna has stated that she would want to play that. And more recently, Bob and Christina said that she would be the best one to play because she's so close to her mom. What do you think about that, her playing her mom?
I think she should. She looks just like her, and she really have insight on what really went on. I just hope that, you know, she keeps it honest. You know, of course she wants to protect her mom's memory or whatever.
Right.
But,
you
know, I hope she keeps it honest. But I think she looks more like her mom, and you know, why not?
Yeah. What do you think?
I'll go a little bit further because of the whole the craft of acting and where sometimes you need to go to achieve a character. I don't know if that's the sound situation for Bobby Christina because she may have to go revisit some dark spots in order to some of that truth.
That's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
That may be a little too much for her.
Yeah, that's what they were kind of saying on the blogs. And some people like, you know, we haven't even seen her act. No, she's a good actress. But we'll be seeing her in Tyler Perry's show soon, so we'll be looking out for that.
Is Tyler Perry doing a movie and putting her in, or is it a TV show?
It's one of his TV shows. It's the spinoff from Why Did I Get Married? Remember the two couple that argued all the time? The one that drank all the time and doesn't. They have a show. It's going in the second season. She's going to be in a reoccurring role in the second season. So.
Oh, okay.
Okay, good for her.
Yeah. All right, TK, we'll definitely appreciate you.
Thank you, sir. And y'all have a good
night.
All right.
You too.
Thanks. You too.
Mr. Aaron, what's going on, man?
Yo, what's good, Ms. Parker, Mr. Knight? How's it going?
What's going on?
How you doing?
All is well. Y'all, I just wanted to kind of like shift gears right now. I'm not going to really talk about sports tonight. I actually wanted just to talk about some of this craziness that's going on as far as in the world of politics. I don't know if you all heard about a U.S. senator from Iowa, Chuck Grassley. He called President Obama stupid. He referred to the President of the United States as stupid on a tweet.
Wow.
So it's getting crazy, and then people are still trying to bring up the whole birther thing again. Still, I'm like, gosh, what more does this man have to do? Does he need to get an old video of his mom giving birth to him in the hospital in Hawaii? I mean, I don't understand. It's just crazy to me. It's really, really crazy.
It's going to get ugly as we get closer to the election. It's going to get ugly.
It's going to get really ugly, and unfortunately, we live in a country where, you know, everyone is entitled to their opinion. You know, I think it's up to us to keep the focus and keep the real issues going and kind of keep in mind what's really at stake and not focus too much on that, in my opinion. And I know you've heard what Rush Limbaugh said, which was kind of just, you know, just way out of line. He said that the Trayvon Martin case was brought about to get President Obama reelected. And it's like, okay, so you're really saying that somebody was killed? He pretty much said that he was killed so Obama could be reelected.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow. Like, how ridiculous is that? People are just, and we have to keep in mind, these people are not, they're obviously insane. Right. No one in their right mind would ever say something that crazy. Why would you think somebody would allow their child to be killed so Obama can be reelected?
Exactly.
Like a conspiracy or something. So,
exactly.
I mean, it's going to get even more crazy.
And this thing is going to be a lot, even more crazy than it was back in 2008, you know. When President Obama was first running, you know, it's going to get even worse. So, go ahead, Aaron.
Stevie, remember when in 2008, remember when Obama was running? Remember what all those people at our job said? If Obama was elected, what they're going to do?
They're going to move to Canada.
They're going to move to Canada.
President Obama was elected. They're going to move to Canada. Right. I want to say good riddance. But one of them was my mom.
Yeah.
They were like, what?
Yep.
They were in the office. They were in their office whispering, you know. And
wow.
I heard them. That is hilarious.
I'm going to
move to Canada. Oh, my God.
And they're crazy.
Like,
knowing that, they aren't
going
anywhere.
What?
Right. Crazy.
Crazy.
But also, really quickly, I also wanted to mention the national unemployment rate is now at 8.2%. It actually dropped 0.1% from last month. So, you know, it's steady going down slowly. Actually, at this time last year, it was at 8.9%. So now it's at 8.2. So it's definitely going down. It actually could go down a little quicker, but I mean anything is good. I mean this is a good, really good trend.
It's moving in the right direction.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And then also with African American unemployment. Unemployment rate is actually at 14%, and then this time last year, it was at 15.66% last year for African American. So
there's an improvement.
That's actually dropping down also. Yeah. So you know, this all had to take time. This man just couldn't get in there in day one and just snap his fingers and things were going to be great. You know, this was like 8 years of a former president's policies on top of, you know, presidents, you know, past, you know, Reagan's and your, you know, Clinton's to like a certain extent, and then your first George Bush. So, you know, this is going to take time, but it's looking like it's in a really good, trend, really good direction.
Do you think President Obama will win the second term?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I'm 1,000% confident in that. You know, some people want to say, I don't know, man, you shouldn't sound too confident. Why not? I'm very confident. So
yeah. Okay.
If people actually go out and vote and register to vote, he should win, no problem. You know, but if people choose to kind of sit on their hands because they feel that he's gonna win re-election and they might feel like, okay, well, since he's got this in the bag, I don't need to go out there and vote. That's dangerous. So people need to actually go out and vote. Definitely go out and vote.
Absolutely, definitely exercise your right and vote.
You got to, man. People lost their lives for this. And I mean, really, people lost their lives for this.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah,
it's very
important. I always say, not voting is voting. So
right. Thank you, Ms. Parker.
That's
yes,
true.
It is.
That's
right.
True.
Yes.
That's
absolutely
true.
That is very true. So that's Ron's perspective tonight. You can catch me on Twitter at RonCosby1. That's RonCosby1. Or you can follow me on Facebook, Aaron, A-R-O-N, last name Cosby, like Bill.
All right. All right, Aaron. Have a good night, man.
Y'all too.
All right.
Have a good night, Aaron.
All right.
Right.
Y'all, bye.
This boy crazy.
I heard him.
Right, don't hurt him, right. Ms. Ferguson, are you there?
I am here.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right tonight. How are you guys doing?
Good. And they got some great sales for us.
I do.
Ms.
I was so afraid. Hey, Ms. Parker, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Congratulations.
Thank you, honey. I appreciate it. I miss you
guys,
though.
I know we miss you, too.
We're going to have to do a happy hour.
I know they're still acting up up there, but, you know, we'll talk about it offline, so don't worry about that.
All right.
So I was, you know, I was out this weekend, of course, shopping like I should not be doing because I need to be saving money. And I went out with, like, one of my favorite shopping partners, my aunt. She is a riot. So we went to the Buckhead area. And, you know, I was afraid that all of the sales that I was coming across for Easter weekend. And happy belated Easter, you guys.
Happy Easter.
I was so afraid that all of those sales would just be gone today, and I wouldn't have anything to report. Fortunately, I was able to find a lot of stuff for you guys, so I'm hoping that that you'll be as excited as I was. But, of course, a lot of these deals are carried over from Easter, from the Easter sale, so you have to act tonight, meaning that you need to probably shop online. All right? So here I go. Now, I found this sale for New York & Company. They're always doing something. New York & Company, if you shop there now, you can get 40% off of your entire purchase. But like I said, a lot of these sales that I'm going to be mentioning end tonight. So this is no exception. The sale does end tonight. So in order to get 40% off of your entire purchase, and that is also including clearance items, you need to go ahead and log on to newyorkandcompany.com. I love telling you guys about Neiman Marcus last call because that's the best, well, last call by Neiman Marcus, because that's the best way to get designer deals for a lot less than you would pay in regular stores. So Neiman Marcus last call, this is the last night that they're having an extra 30% off of men's and women's apparel. And unlike many outlet stores, at Neiman Marcus last call, you can shop online. So that's perfect, you know. You can just go ahead and shop online and have them just bring it right to your door. So, you know, no muss, no fuss. The Limited, today only, and this is online only until midnight, they're having an April sale. And this is just, I guess, just a sale celebrating April. I don't know. It's just something they came up with to get people to shop. So if you shop there now, you can also get 40% off of your entire purchase, but you have to use the code April40 when you're checking out. So that might be something everybody wants to check out. Now, Express is having this huge sale. Anyway, today is the last day again because this is like an Easter sale. This is a five-day sale. So today is the last day. Women get 30% off of accessories, shoes, and yes, Express does carry shoes. I know this is something new they started doing within the last year or two. So women can get 30% off of accessories, shoes, tanks, tees, and dresses, plus bottoms are buy one, get one 50% off. Now, I didn't forget about the guys. So men can buy one, get one free on all shirts, plus they can get 40% off of all tees and polos. So that's something for the guys. And everybody, men and women, get an additional 30% off of all clearance. So I was really excited. I almost cried when I saw that one. I mean, because they're doing so much. You know, it's very rare that a store does so much when it comes to a sale, and they're just doing a whole lot right now, Express is. Mm-hmm. I guess they're really trying to get people into those sales, into those stores. Armani Exchange, if you shop there now, you can get an extra 30% off of all sale items. And you all know Armani Exchange, they're moderately priced to expensive. Like, some of this stuff, I'm just like, y'all are crazy. But some of the stuff is, like, you know, moderately priced. But if you're shopping your clearance items and you can get an additional 30% off, that's always a great deal. Talbot's. Now, I don't normally shop at Talbot's, but, you know, to each his own. And Talbot's is really good, like, for office wear, you know, for office attire, things like that. Talbot's is having their spring sale, and now you can get up to 65% off of original prices, and plus you can take an additional 30% off of select items. So that's a really good sale that I came across. And last but not least, Aeropostale. If you shop there now, and of course, this is where I shop to go get my sweatpants and, you know, just stuff to lounge around in. If you shop there now, you can get $10 off your $50 purchase or more. So, you know, I would do it, you know, just because I'm getting my little $10. So that's a pretty good thing. And they always have affordable items in that store. So you can probably rack up on a whole lot for just $40.
Wow.
So that's all I have for you guys this evening.
All right, all right. Well, as always, we appreciate it. You know, the women in particular love the segment. They can find the different tales and whatnot.
I don't know how you keep up with all this stuff. All these tales.
They can find all
it's
the tales.
It's what I love to do.
Yeah. But they can find all the sales at budgetshopaholic.com, correct?
That's right. That's right. It is posted right now as we speak.
All right. Well, have a good night.
Okay, you guys have a great night.
All right.
Thanks, you too.
Okay, bye-bye.
What's going on in entertainment, Ms. Parker?
Not too much. I recently saw a picture of Lil' Kim holding a baby. Did you see that picture? Her best friend had a baby, and I guess she's the godmother. I just can't do it.
Oh.
She messed up her face so much. I mean, she's just a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Plastic surgery is not for everyone. Please, people, you have one or two things done. I believe in improving something. You feel like you need to get something done, make yourself feel better, do it. But do not mess up your whole face. That's just ridiculous. So that's my low deal. I know.
When
you start messing with your face.
Right. That's your face. If you mess it up.
Yeah. Exactly. You mess it up, there's no going back.
That's it. That's a wrap. Did you see they released the salaries of what the women from Housewives of Atlanta would make?
No, tell me about it.
Okay, so NeNe, no surprise, makes the most. She makes $750 a season, you know, $750,000 a season.
That's why she
and then she gets
on y'all.
And then she gets an additional $250,000 for doing the reunion show. The second person is Kim. Kim gets $600,000, and then she also I believe she gets $250,000 as well for the reunion show. Now, you know, I was kind of shocked that Peter, what's Sage's husband's name? Apollo.
Peter
and
Apollo.
And whatever Kim's husband's name is, the football player. They all get paid too. They get paid. Yeah. They get paid $75,000 and they have to be on call at all time. Marlo gets that too. Marlo, who's been on the show this season. Candy and Phaedra.
And probably Mel, huh? Mel.
They didn't say anything. They didn't say anything about her. She might, but they didn't say anything about her. But Candy, Phaedra, and Cynthia make the least, and I believe Cynthia and Phaedra make just around the same amount, I guess, because they came in at the same time. I want to say Candy makes around $400,000.
Candy, Cynthia, and Phaedra make about $4-something?
Well, Candy's making $4-something, and I believe Cynthia and Phaedra are making around $3-something. And then their bonus for the reunion show is $150,000 instead of $250,000. So.
What about Sheree?
Yeah, Sheree's making less than Kim. She's making about $5-something.
Oh, okay. I guess they said they just rather keep their money because I heard she's getting kicked off.
Yeah, she makes $550,000. Yeah, and $150,000.
They said she was crying and everything, asking to be back on the show.
Yeah, they're supposed to kick her off the show.
Kick her off.
Did you see the trailer for the reunion show?
Mm-hmm. I didn't see anything about her being kicked off on there.
They said she was crying and
begging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were saying that she went off, like she was going off on that reunion show because at this point she knew her contract wasn't renewed and she was leaving with a bang. But you know they were all going at it. You know,
I saw the preview.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of feel bad for her because she had that house and they were, you know, building the house and all that. And and now, did you see the last episode? Where, like, her house was, you know, grounds was broken a year ago,
yeah.
12 months ago, and the house is still on hold.
Right.
Like, I don't understand how people, why would somebody want to live above their means? Like, you know, you can't afford a house that's going to cost you $5 million to build because you're making $500,000. That doesn't really make sense.
Right. And, you know, someone said, I guess now she had more time to focus on She by Sheree, but definitely hasn't done much.
That's probably kind of funny. That's what that was.
They're being funny. Yeah, they're being funny.
I haven't heard anything about Sheba Sheree since that man cussed her out.
That lawyer.
I haven't heard anything else about Sheba Sheree. So I feel bad for her because I think she's going to end up in another Lisa Wu situation because I heard Lisa's really broke these days. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, I wish her the best.
Absolutely. We always wish them all the best. Have you seen Janet Jackson?
What, her weight?
Yeah. I mean, she is small. I mean, body's banging. But she really lost a lot. You know, she's a spokesperson for Nutrisystem. And, I mean, whew, that body is bad. But one thing about her, she could always drop that weight quick, you know what I mean?
Like, I was about to say, you better act like you know Janet Jackson. It's like,
but
we like to eat, and when we get our minds right,
that's
I saw her.
I'm
proud of her. I'm really proud of her. But she does lose weight pretty quickly. She's kind of Mariah Carey, but Mariah Carey doesn't lose weight as quickly as she does. She's still looking kind of thick these days. But these stars promoting this weight loss thing, it's summertime is coming up.
They said, shoot, get your mind right. I know everyone's been talking about Instagram. You know, apparently it's been out for a couple of years, and it started off as a Apple product, you know, for sharing photos and whatnot. Well, Facebook bought out Instagram, bought the app for $1 billion.
Yeah, and it's funny because Facebook know that's the next big thing.
Because
Facebook now.
I know, Instagram.
I
tried to download my phone, and apparently my Evo is not equipped to, you know, be compatible.
Oh, I thought all Android had it now.
I thought it was, too, but I tried to do it today, and it said it's not compatible with your phone, which I'm going to try it again just to make sure.
Oh, okay. I downloaded it, but I don't know how to use it.
Yeah, I'm about to play with it. what do you think about Kanye and Kim Kardashian?
Yeah, I saw her on the Today Show last week, and you know, she was saying that they weren't dating, whatever. I kind of like them together. I think, you know, they're both kind of weird and into themselves, so I think they'll actually work. Two selfish people making it work. I think, you know, but I like him. I like him. You know, Kanye is a jerk. He can be a jerk, but. You know, I honestly think that they should try it out and see. Sometimes the, you know, friendship make the best couples. So I wish them the best. And I'm always rooting for Kim. You know, people give her a hard time, but I really do think that she's just searching for love, like we all are. And I think she loves hard, and she lives her life in the public eye because I think she does like the attention. But that still doesn't mean that she's not. She doesn't deserve to be loved or deserve to find happiness. So I definitely wish her the best.
Absolutely.
What do you think about that lady with the lottery winning lady?
God. That woman's the biggest. Yeah, she lost the ticket. First she said it. But, you know, I was reading the quote today when I was reading that article, and she said, I don't know where that ticket is, but I haven't even checked my uniform pants yet. What? That'd be the first place to check. Your uniform is McDonald's uniform. That woman
this
is just,
what
she's
saying. People are saying that she's crazy and she's making it up. And when the real lottery winner comes and, like, you know, because usually people take months to come up and say they won the lottery because they have to get all their finances and get a what is it called? Like an accountant
financial
and all
advisor.
That and an attorney financial advisor and attorney and accountant and all of that. And so sometimes it takes months for them to come forward. And they're saying she's so crazy, she's going to say that person stole the ticket from her.
Right. Yeah, she'll make up something. But I'll tell you what, if I won, it wouldn't take me no
longer. People say they don't think she has the ticket.
She ain't got that ticket.
Because
trust me, she has
the
ticket.
How do you know you won if you can't find a ticket? How do you know the number? You memorize every ticket you bought.
That doesn't even make sense.
And then, like, she went and got an attorney. I'm like, who signed up to represent her? Because he showed up to the thing, and he's like, unfortunately, she just told me she doesn't have the ticket. And
he
didn't have the ticket.
He was on the news and said that he hasn't seen the ticket, and he has no interest in seeing it. why are you trying the case? I mean, why are you being the attorney? You're supposed
yeah,
to do that.
I think he dropped her case because he's like,
yeah.
He showed up to announce her as the winner, and then she whispered in his ear that she doesn't. She showed up 2 hours late to the press conference and said that she couldn't find a ticket.
Wow.
Something's obviously, she obviously a loose cannon. Something's wrong with her.
Yeah.
So.
Something anyway. Anyway.
But that's
okay. We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and we'll talk to Montel Jordan. Can we talk to him? We'll be right back.
E-Buzz, yes. Carla B., the host of E-Buzz, is dating 51 men. Just for you. No kissing, no funny stuff.
No funny stuff?
That's right, no funny stuff.
Just getting the facts about dating and what really goes on behind the closed doors of men. Get the news May 5th as you listen to the outcome of 51 men Carla B. will be dating. Men, you need to tune in. Ladies, you must tune in. That's EOTMradio.com, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on eBuzz. That's Carla B., the host. We'll be dating 51 men. This is Ron Anthony on EOTMradio.com. Tune in.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. I'm your host, Stephen Knight. And, of course, your lovely Miss Parker is here on the line with me.
Of course.
Was seen in the mid-1990s with a string of hits such as Fallen, Let's Ride, and I know everyone remembers the smash number one hit. This is how we do it. Well, in 2010,
this is how we do it.
From the R&B world of music. These days, he's committed his life to the ministry of Jesus Christ and the spread of the good news to all nations. He's a family man, husband, father, friend, servant, and worshiper. He currently is the worship pastor at Victory World Church in Norcross, Georgia, and is currently establishing a new sound of Victory World music to the world. The new project, Shake Heaven, is currently available on iTunes. Please help me welcome the one and only Mr. Montel Jordan. Welcome to the show, Montel.
Thank you so much for having me, man. I appreciate it. Quite honestly, I don't know what you were going to sing at the top of your introduction, but you sounded pretty good. It looked like you could take my spot if you wanted to.
Well, you know, everyone loves that song. And, you know, someone wanted me to ask you, do you ever get tired of people, I know people coming to you and singing all the time. Do you ever get tired of that?
No. As long as, you know, there were royalties and stuff attached to that. So, I'm singing. I feel like if somebody sent me a nickel, I'm good. No,
you're good.
I'm joking, man. That's part of my testimony, man. And I'm not ashamed of my testimony. I'm comfortable living out loud to where people can see where I was, because that's how they can tell where, you know, where I am now.
I hear that. Well, what made you make that transition ultimately from R&B to Christian music?
Well, that's a great question, and I always answer it by saying I really didn't make a transition from R&B to Christian music. I made a transition from the music business into full-time ministry. Literally, my journey was not about changing musical genres. It literally was about leaving a business and a career choice and to go into full-time ministry. So literally, my journey went from the life that I had before into being able to marry people and bury people and baptize people and pray for people. In that role, in that title that I have now, I also have the opportunity to still be able to do music as a worship pastor.
Wow. So I know up in 2010, you were still doing performances. I would see you doing performances here and there with some of your R&B, music. Do you ever still get requests to do that?
I have requests regularly to come back and to perform. You know, some people didn't get the memo that I made a transition into full-time ministry. So without question, it's kind of the running joke my wife and I have. We kind of keep a running tally of the different opportunities that keep presenting themselves for me to come out and do the old material and do those old songs or whatever. I could almost retire just from within the past year with what folks offer to go back to that old lifestyle, but it's not worth it, and there's no compromise there, and so we kind of get a kick out of it. But, you know, God has been good. He's been faithful to us in the new career choice and in the new walk.
Amen. Was it, I know that, you know, you have space. And I know, you know, personally for me, that's what gets you through adversity and change and whatnot. Was there at all any kind of fear of leaving what had been your career, you know, for all those years to making that transition to the unknown into Christian music?
Absolutely. You know, there's no question that taking a journey from familiar into unfamiliar territory and then wondering what people are going to say, what mm-hmm. people are going to think, and there's a lot of pressures. You know, one of the things that I said is that my life was lived out loud. You can Google or YouTube, you know, the name Montel Jordan, and, mm-hmm. and everything that I've ever done or said is pretty much out there for the world to see. So, you know, my faults, my failures, the good stuff, the bad stuff, it's all out there, you know.
Right.
And living your life publicly like that, naturally there's a lot of concern that comes with making a full-out commitment to Christ and wondering what people are going to, you know, say or how they're going to view it. But really, I got to a place of being able to say, okay, you know, whose opinion do I care about?
My
family's opinion, the church's opinion, the world's opinion, or God's opinion. And if God says that he can use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, then this is where you get a situation where an R&B singer ends up getting pulled out of the world and now is a worship pastor at a church of over 104 different nations of people with over 10,000 people in a congregation. That don't make sense. That's a foolish thing.
Yeah.
And yet and still, that's a reality right now, that God can take something that that people didn't think could be usable and can use it for his glory and for his good. And I'm fine with that.
Amen. You know, I frequently attend Victory, and I was invited by a friend last year, and I said, that guy on stage looks a lot like Montel Jordan. and he was like, well, that is Montel Jordan. And, you know, I was blown away by the praise and worship. You know, I love the church as a whole, but the praise and worship aspect, because it's completely different from any other experience I've had in any other kind of church. Can you talk about what you all do at that church? You know, obviously it's a multicultural church. What makes this music so special that you all created?
Well, I mean, I do believe that, you know, what we have here at Victory is unique, you know, to Victory, because the church here is unique. You know, to be in, you know, in Atlanta, Georgia, at a church that, you know, that has 10,000 members or whatever, but the main sanctuary seats about 1,500, and when you're in that atmosphere of the people standing around you, it's not a black church, it's not a white church,
right.
It's a multicultural church. And, well, I mean, first of all, if you all your life were in a Baptist church or a Methodist church or whatever church, you're used to seeing and worshiping around other people that look like you.
Exactly.
But when you come to Victory, you got black folks and white folks and Africans and Asians, and it's a closer, I think, replica of what heaven is going, a representation of what heaven is going to look like. I think God loves the church, and he loves the white church, and he loves the Korean church, but I think he loves the church more than he loves the black or white or Korean church. And so it's interesting that in a setting like at Victory, where you have all these different nations of people and cultures and the diversity that's here, naturally, that's a recipe for disaster for the worship department, because white folks want to hear white folks worship and black folks want to hear black folks worship. And, you know, it's, you know, technically you could come in and if you went gospel, then it would alienate a big portion of your audience. If you went too rocky, it could alienate a portion of your audience. And so when I came into this position last year, I literally asked God, you know, how do you want me to worship you? How do you want me to guide your people's affections not towards the worship that's pleasing to them, but towards worship that's pleasing to you?
Yeah.
And the word that he gave me was that we would have to create our own sound, or that he would give us a new sound that the people of this particular body would be able to embrace and own as their worship to God.
Absolutely.
So when you listen to a song like Shake Heaven,
mm-hmm.
if you were to take that song to a radio format, Black radio say Shake Heaven ain't really a black record. And white radio say Shake Heaven ain't really a white record. Because it's a new sound. It's not black record, and it's not a contemporary Christian song. It is a new sound, that God is doing, that has all types of different nationalities represented in Victory Well Music and a black lead singer on that particular song. So it's not black, it's not white, it's not anything other than God's expression, our expression of worship to God from Victory. And from that standpoint, that's how we've chosen to go beyond color and to be able to just reach God's people. And, you know, and let me just say this real quick. It's crazy because when we first came out with the song Shake Heaven, not just the whole album, but just the song, when I went to people in the music business and to the radio people and labels and said, hey, this is our song Shake Heaven, the first question they asked me was, y'all worship to that? Like, you actually sing that song in a church? Because it doesn't sound like a song that you would sing in a church. And if you roll up in the Victory Well Church on the right weekend, you'll catch us in here fist balled up, you know, going up towards heaven shouting, hey, like we was at a Braves game, but giving all honor to glory because, not all honor to God, because this is our unique form of worship and we're just not having the opportunity to share it with the rest of the world.
You know, I was, speaking of Shake Heaven, I was going to bring that up. I was actually at the shooting of the video that you all did one early before the service started. And I have to say, you know, that was my first time hearing that song, and I instantly fell in love with it. So what was available for the public, I was just like, wow, that's just an incredible song. You know, like you said, and it's not your typical, you know, we're praising God song, but that's what the message is, shaking up heaven, joining together. I love that song. Tell us a little bit about how that came off as the lead.
Well, I mean, once again, I believe that it was God-given, and it wasn't like we, like a lot of the rest of the album, where we sat down and went through scripture and tried to find, you know, a spirit-led place of writing words. And literally, when Shake Heaven came, I wasn't even in full-time ministry at the time. Shake Heaven came in 2010, and I was still struggling with whether or not I was going to leave the business, you know, after getting the word from God that I was going to, you know, have to lay that lifestyle down.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, it wasn't like an instantaneous, okay, I'll do it, God.
Right.
You know, I was struggling with that decision. And, you know, the song Shake Heaven, you know, came about right around that time. I was working with a friend of mine, Becca Shea, and Jack Sockley, the producer of that song. And we were just sitting down, and there was no scripture basis, you know, when we actually were creating the song. It wasn't until the song was done, and several weeks later, I was in church, and my pastor started reading something. I want to say it was in Hebrews, and he's reading about, that God's voice had given an order, and that it at one time had shook heaven, but this time it would shake the heavens and the earth, and anything that was not basically real would not be able to stand, you know, through the. And I was hearing this in church, and I was like, you mean to tell me the song that I've been sitting with for the past month is actually scriptural?
Yeah.
And so it led me to see that maybe something was happening in the spirit that I was not in tune with and wasn't connected with, that I needed to be in tune with, that if he was going to give me things like that, I needed to know, you know, if this wasn't by coincidence, that he was doing some things in me, and I needed to be aware of them, and the only way I could do that was by being, you know, completely obedient and submitted to him.
So that experience in itself kind of helps you with your decision to go all the way Christian music?
That was one of the things, and like I said, and I have to be real specific when I say this, the journey really wasn't about doing Christian music. It was more about going into ministry, because I get to do Christian music now, but the journey that I took wasn't about, I mean, I'd done Christian music when I was in the R&B world. So,
right.
I mean, I got songs I did, you know, called The You and Me. I worked with, you know, Tone, and then back in the day, I've done Christian music and songs throughout my entire career. But the journey that I took was about leaving that life and going into ministry. So, yes, I would agree that the song Shake Heaven did play a heavy part in helping me make that decision, you know, to become, you know, a complete follower of Christ, as opposed to the lifestyle of walking the life of living my own life and then being a Christian sometimes. And I think a lot of us do that we have our lives lives, and then we have our Christian lives, not realizing that, you know, like the soap opera, we only got one life to live, and we're playing it like it's two or three of them. So, yes, without question, that song had a great impact on part of me making the decision to make that journey. Let me just sidebar this real quick. One thing about making that journey into full-time ministry was that I got tired, man, of being different Montels, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The Montel that was the father was different from Montel the husband, and Montel the husband was different from the Montel that was the R&B guy, and Montel the R&B guy was different from when I was with my family. By making the journey in the ministry, I get to be one Montel. I get to be the Montel that God loves the most.
Mm.
And that also had a big impact on me, you know, making the decision to go and to do worship music.
I definitely get that. So let's talk about your days in the industry. Back, you know, when you were doing R&B. You know, we hear so many horror stories about the industry and, you know, how it can really be cutthroat and whatnot. Did you ever experience that pressure and that kind of, you know, the pressure that the industry puts on you sometimes?
Oh, I mean, there's no question. I got music industry stories that make a woman go hair on her chest, man. I got harrowing stories about abuses in the music business and just the journey that I took. I mean, I've had some great experiences. I've met some great people. At the same breath, I've been taken advantage of. I've taken advantage of people. I was a part of the business that when you're a part of that, you know, you get hurt, and you also know that hurt people. So I wasn't the greatest dude as well when I was in that business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I owned a company, and I wasn't, you know, I was a shrewd businessman back then too. So it was a lot of dealings and things that happened at that time as a survival technique, or as character flaws, or so many different things that happened during that time period that, you know, that end up becoming life learning lessons for me.
Yeah.
Now that I wouldn't change anything that happened, because it gave me the testimony for where I am now.
Right.
And yet there were some tough learning lessons that one had to learn about being in that business.
What are your thoughts on the passing of Whitney Houston?
Say that again, please.
What are your thoughts on the passing of Whitney Houston?
Oh, you know, my thoughts on Whitney Houston are, I have sampled one. I had a chance to work with Whitney Houston. Me and my producers and writers back in the day, we did a song on Whitney Houston's greatest hits album called Same Script, Different Cast.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I've met with Whitney on several different occasions, and so my ultimate thought about Whitney is that I know and I believe that Whitney was saved.
Mm.
I believe that Whitney knew the Lord, and I know that Whitney was saved. And I also believe that the same way that Whitney was saved, that Whitney had things that she was not delivered from.
Right, yeah.
And so you can be saved and not be delivered, and I think that's part of the journey that many look at and don't fully understand. This is how somebody, you know, can be a homosexual and love the Lord and be saved, but they're not delivered, or how an alcoholic or a drug user or somebody that looks at porn, they can be saved and love the Lord, but they're not delivered from their addiction yet. And so
right.
When I look at Whitney, I see somebody who was saved, but who was not delivered from a stronghold that was on her life. And for somebody who might be listening to this right now, I think what that shows us is that when you can save, some people think that being saved is the finish line.
Exactly.
And being saved, getting saved is not the finish line. Getting saved is the starting point.
Right, yeah.
When you get saved, that's when you get at the line and the gun goes off, and you are now in the race to finally, but at least now you know you're in the race.
Exactly.
But at that point, getting saved puts you in the race, and during the rest of that race, this is where you're going through the process of being refined and being delivered constantly over and over again from things that are holding you in bondage. And so those are my initial thoughts.
Absolutely.
On Whitney.
Absolutely. Now, you are the worship pastor at Victory World Church here in Atlanta. And, you know, I was I was telling a few friends that I was that we were going to be doing this interview, and I told them that you were, I called it the minister of music, worship pastor, and they said, well, what is that? Some people have never heard of that title. And can you speak a little bit on that ministry for those that don't know what it is that you do now?
Yeah, well, for me, and I think at different churches, there may be, you know, different requirements that come along with, you know, with the responsibility of being a minister of music or a worship pastor. For me, like I said, my first duty is I'm a licensed minister, and that enables me to marry people and bury people and baptize people. And then part of the job description of what I was hired here to do in ministry is to be over the music department, over the worship department. And worship here at Victory entails not just this campus, but in the children's ministry, as well as a satellite campus we have up near the Mall of Georgia, at a church called Victory at Hamilton Mill. It's to give them a good worship experience over consistent a consistent worship experience, meaning the songs that are chosen match where the pastor is going with the messages, that the vocalists who are chosen, the musicians who are in place, that the entire rotation of music and songs and what's being created and presented as a form of worship is kind of at my inclination of hearing from God, and then giving to the church what thus does the Lord in regard to what the worship looks like, you know, during our weekly basis. Victory World Music gives us an opportunity to do worship outside of Victory World Church.
Right.
But on a weekly basis, basically my objective is to make sure that the worship experience at Victory is enabling people into being ushered into the presence of God. And let me say this. I think as worshipers, we are ushers. And what I mean by we are ushers, just the same way an usher has the job of showing people to their seats, we are worshiping people into the presence of God. And I don't know if you are familiar with the job or duties of an usher, but I've never known an usher that could do their job effectively from the parking lot.
Most
ushers, in order to be effective at their job, they need to be inside the building, so that when somebody walks inside the building and needs to know where to sit, the usher can direct them where they need to sit. It's the same thing as a worship leader, as a worship pastor, as a minister of music. It is our job to usher people into the presence of God, and we can't do that job from outside the presence of God. We as worshipers have to be inside the presence of God, so that when somebody else is trying to get inside the presence of God, we have the ability to take them, to direct them where to go in worship, and that's what we do.
Amen.
On the basis.
Amen. So let's talk about the album Shake Heaven. We know that you have the lead single, Shake Heaven. What is your, do you have a favorite song on that project?
My favorite song on the Shake Heaven album is Usable by Seraphim, and I love it because of how it was created, the intimate sound of the song just gives me, it's like, it is my heart's cry that of all the stuff that I can be for the kingdom of God, the main thing I want to be is just being able to be used.
That's powerful. That's real powerful. And so is there going to be a follow-up single after Shake Heaven?
You know, we're trying to determine that right now. The album Shake Heaven is out. Like you said, it's on iTunes. It's available hard copy at Victory. We are probably going to seek distribution of the CD going into later of this year, 2012, because we had a live concert last year, the 11/11/11 Shake Heaven live concert that was held here at Victory. It was filmed and recorded, and we're going to repackage the project, and it'll be called Shake Heaven Live, and later this year we'll have not only the album that's currently out, but also the live version of that album, and a DVD will accompany it all in one beautiful one deluxe package, and you'll be able to have the DVD, the live album, and the studio album all in one package later on this year. And of course, I'm on the album. Marty Menizzi is on the album. We have guest features from Israel Houghton and Ricardo Sanchez and Byron Talkbox Chambers. Rachel Lampa has stepped in to help us make the project take it even higher than the studio album.
Wow. Wow. It sounds like it's going to be a great project. I can't wait to get my hands on the full package. Let me ask you, what's on your iPod right now? What are you listening to?
Man, it's funny. What I'm listening to right now, I did a song the other day for my unborn daughter. Her name will be Samantha, but we call her Ladybug. And so I actually did a song called the Ladybug song. And so that's what's on my iPod right now. And I'm also, I guess, because I started running again to make sure that my body is, you know, in shape, you know,
right,
for the long haul of having a new kid coming into the world. I've been listening to Flames album, as well as Mary Mary's album and the Victory World music album. Those are the three albums I listen to.
I hear that. Well, listen, Martha, I want to thank you so much for taking the time. I know today is a busy day for you, but so thank you for joining us tonight and being on the show. And you know, I can't wait to come to church Sunday and get in that spirit that you all project each week. But thanks again, and I encourage everyone to go out and pick up a copy of Shake Heaven, the album, on iTunes now. We'll be playing a couple of songs from the project during Steven's playlist. So thanks again, Montel. You have a good night, okay?
That's what's up. I appreciate you, brother. Now you take care, man. I'll see you around Victor, all right?
All right, sir.
Later, man.
Bye.
You're listening to The Steven Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio. You're listening now. You're listening to The Steven Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio.
The Steven Knight Show, Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on EOTMRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Steven Knight Show. I'm your host, Steven Knight. I want to tell you, I really, after talking to Montel, I have a greater appreciation for him and where he is today. And, you know, I want to thank him again for being on the show tonight. But now it's time to go into Steven's
interesting interview.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was. I liked what he said about Whitney, because I agree with him. A lot of people think because you are saved that, you know, your life is perfect. You don't make mistakes. You don't have issues. I like that. I liked him talking about the transition to, you know, because he struggled with, do I want to do Christian music? You know, do I want to keep making this money? Because, you know, a lot of people don't realize he was making good money up in 2010, you know, performing, and then, you know, he gets revenue from songs he wrote. I didn't know he had written Same Script, Different Cast, and he wrote Deborah Cox, Nobody's Supposed to Be Here. You know, those are big songs. So I like,
yeah, I mean, well, he still definitely gets paid
yeah,
for those songs that he wrote. Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah. I had to bust out a little bit of This Is How We Do It. You know, you can't have Martel on and not go there. But a lot of people want me to ask him questions about his taxes, and I wasn't going to do that because I don't want anybody asking questions about my taxes. You know what I mean? So I definitely hope that gets cleared up for him. You know, but my impression of him, he's a really nice guy, and I'm glad that he's on the show. But anyway, it's time to go on to Steven's playlist. As you know, we receive music from people all over the country wanting to be featured during this segment. Each week, we select artists to play on our playlist. And tonight, our playlist features songs by both major and independent artists, many by Montel Jordan, both new and old. We're going to play his new song, Shake Heaven, which I actually love. And, of course, we're going to play This Is How We Do It. You can't play Montel's songs without that.
Yeah, put Falling on there, huh?
My favorite, Fallen, is on there. We're going to play that, too. And then we have some other artists that we'll be featuring as well. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And if you're interested in being featured on Steven's playlist, please email us at thestevennightshow@gmail.com. Attach one or two songs, your bio, and one or two promotional pictures. All songs must be edited for radio, so no cursing. I look forward to hearing from you. Now, the first song is by Montel Jordan featuring Becca Shea. It's the first single off the project, Shake Heaven. It has the same title as a single. Check it out and enjoy Steven's playlist.
Just power in the name. One day every tongue confess that you are Lord of all, and your name's forever blessed, beginning and the end. We know who's gonna win. Yeshua, Yeshua, Yeshua.
Well, that was Stephen's Playlist. I hope you enjoyed it. Remember that Montel Jordan is actually called Victory World Music. Their new album, Shake Heaven, is online now. You can get on iTunes. You can buy the single, Shake Heaven, which we played in our playlist on there. I want to thank him again for coming.
The album is from his church?
Yeah, it's from the church. Basically, it's a group of musicians at the church, you know, that they do the praise and worship each Sunday. And they've asked some other artists, gospel artists and Christian artists, to come in, and they put together an album called Shake Heaven. And the first single was the Shake Heaven. Gonna Shake Heaven. That was the first single. And all of it's on iTunes. So definitely check it out. And thanks again for him. I want everyone to have a great week. We have some great shows coming up. I'm very excited. More on that soon. But have a great week. And until next week, God bless.
Have a good one, everyone.
You're so fresh.